thank you for the services. We watched every service. Mary's teaching, Bob's ministry. It was such a blessing when they would come on, because then I would get such a peace that, Lord, you still are with us. You are there. I know you are. And thank you both for your faithfulness. It was wonderful. And thank you, Mary, for the message this morning. I felt very much that was a word in season. Very rightly divided. Not too many can rightly divide God's word. And pray for that. And I pray for it all the time. Everybody wants to know. And you get this spirit where they want to know, but they don't want to search it out. And then they want you just to tell them. And you can't do that, because it has to be searched out line upon line, precept upon precept, or we will get ahead of the Lord or behind him, whichever. And that was a real word this morning of walking through transitions. They are not easy. And I think it was David said, we need patience. And that is probably the understatement for where we are right now, the divine patience to wait on the Lord. He is leading us. And it is a glass darkly. I say that over and again. All right, I want to say a few things. I'm not going to return to James 1 just yet. I will be. But I do want to reiterate where we were ministering, and that is a word in season to the weary. Isaiah 50, 51, 52, 53. And I believe there are four express words that we are going to mine out from those chapters. And they were the words that enabled our Lord to finish the work at Calvary. That was what God sent him into this world to do, to finish the work that he gave him to do. It was not for the ministry. It was not for any of those things, the healings, the miracles, as wonderful as they were. He wanted to finish the work because he was the only one that could do that work. He was flesh made flesh, but he was the Word made flesh. And he had that ability to do the work. And on his shoulders were those in the Old Testament looking forward to him finishing the work. You know about them as they came up out of the graves, and some in spirit were captivity that were led captive. How dependent they were. And he also looked forward and saw all of us. And he knew he had to finish. And so, Isaiah 50, I'll only quote this. He just said, the Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned. How did he have that? Think about it. That I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He waketh my ear to hear as the learned. And the Lord opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. Now that tells you much about what he was facing in the days that were right before him going to Calvary. These four chapters deal with that in very great detail. But I can tell you that he gained the strength, not only from those words, but our Lord was a ever-present person since he said, I will go, Isaiah 40. Sacrifice and offerings, you desirest not, a body has you prepared me. From that time and his great foreknowledge, he knew exactly what he was going to walk through. Yet he said, I will go. Think about that. Would you go if you knew everything before you? Probably not. So we can't know everything because we wouldn't be able to take it each day. But as you learn to take it, then you can are strengthened to continue to walk on with the Lord. I'm going to take a few moments, and I do believe the Lord had many words of wisdom that he received through his sojourn. Some of us forget that he really was here as the pre-incarnate Christ. Did you know that? He walked with Israel. He walked with the Patriots. He was that one not yet revealed, but the one that was going to give you a revelation of the one that was to come. I think of all the worthies of faith, how we study them. Oh, I have. But in them, you are seeing the greater worthy of faith because they raced in his faith. They raced in his strength. And they were all revelations of him before the time that he would be revealed. They were also partakers of his sufferings. Go back and read Hebrews 11 and think about all that they went through. They were only partakers of his sufferings. What revelation comes to you through that is the greater sufferings that he went through that have to be revealed to us. And so I can only tell you that Christ had many words in wisdom. Remember that he was that rock that followed them in the wilderness. He was that smitten rock that Moses struck once, unfortunately twice. But he was that rock. He was back there with them. He was walking with all of them. And so you think about all the words of wisdom that he gained even in his foreknowledge of what was ahead. He was there, and yet he said, I will go. And in this, the Lord gained the strength for his sojourn. Now, I know when he was reduced down to a body thou hast prepared, I don't know what his foreknowledge was at that time. I know he had to learn the ways of God. He grew in wisdom and knowledge, and I have to believe that some of that foreknowledge must have come to him by God. Do you remember being by the smitten rock? Do you remember this? Do you remember when Moses did this or so forth? And he would gain such strength in his sojourn. I know he acquired that from the Word of God. He had to have been a student. But he also must have had some kind of a recollect that God, he Shyamo that brought to him of all of the worthies of faith, of all those times and types and seasons. Remember Hebrews 1. I'm going to ask you to turn there for just a moment. Hebrews, the first chapter. God, in sundry times and divers manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. But all the divers manners, sundry times, he was the tabernacle. It was a type of him. He was in every offering. Think of the lambs that were slain, the bullocks that were slain. He was there as the pre-incarnate Christ. They all spoke of him. He was the furniture in the tabernacle. He was the Ark of the Covenant. He was all of these things. And what God was doing was beginning to prepare us for the greatest revelation ever given to man, and that was the first advent of Christ, God. God in the flesh. God in the flesh. Oh my goodness. And so all of these created a mosaic that prepares you for the first advent of Christ. And now we're being prepared for the second advent of Christ. So the words of wisdom he had, he knew the whole Old Testament. He was there. It was written about him. 39 books were written about him. He was in the volume of the book. I guess I'm saying, if you want a word in wisdom that were before him, he could certainly draw on those in time as God brought back that knowledge and understanding to him. But we've been walking with him in his sojourn from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, the seat of the woman. What a hostile environment. And you have to wonder, as he was in the Bethlehem in the stall, and I thought of the song, "Thou didst leave thy throne." I thought about, he didn't hear the words, but Mary did, "No room." How many of you would have thought of bringing your firstborn in a barn? You would have been insulted. Well, God has better things. Think about it for a little while. But Bethlehem, no room. He would later hear, "No room," not only at the end, but "No room in the heart of Israel. No room in the world that was organized against him. No room in the systems of men." And so, I just leave you again to understand the great revelation of him. That it takes all these types and shadows or you won't see him. I think it was in Exodus 33 when Moses said, "Show me thy glory." And he says, "You must see my back parts first, the part that has already been fulfilled." And God's people today, "Oh, show me the glory." But it goes all the way back to the types and the shadows and all of those things. You're studying Christ. So look back first and make sure you have a hold on the Holy Scriptures that are a revelation of him from Genesis through Malachi. I'm never asking the Lord to show me his glory. I'm trying to see it line upon line, precept on precept, in case I don't come through that. You know, we're walking into days and a possible move of the Spirit where you're going to see things you've never seen before. You won't want to be presumptuous. You won't want to be demanding. You and I will have to learn to walk softly before the Lord as never before in our lives. Unusual times. But in all of these points, whether it was Bethlehem, Egypt, when he had to be taken down in Egypt, I've been getting such a revelation on this. I've been studying it from the book of Matthew. And you think, "Oh, Lord went to Egypt." Oh, am I getting a revelation? He said, "Out of Egypt I've called my son." That means he was the one that was in the mind of God ever before he brought Israel out of there. And they were delivered. The Exodus was delivered on the basis of him. Praise the Lord. He brought them out. Why? He was the seed of the woman, yes, but he was also the seed of Abraham, heir to the covenants, all of that. God took him down in Egypt, brought him out. Now he's the greatest provision I know, because the greatest exodus ever was at his first advent, when he took us out of the old and into the new. And we're getting ready to see even a greater exodus as we leave this world and are caught up into heavenly places. Please be patient. Take the transitions as they come. You're going to need them. You'll be thankful one day. Lord, I'm so glad I waited on you. Because we won't get out of this world any other way. No one's going out of this world except from the book of Joshua, and I'm not ready to speak on that yet. They had to follow the ark 2,000 cubits. Now, I want to say to you this morning, you say, well, that was at that time. No, that is representing a company that was able to lay hold of the two dispensational days of this church age. No one else would know how to follow him over. So as the first fruits, I want you to hold Joshua in mind. I'm not through it there, I know. Egypt. Nazareth. What do you do at Nazareth? A mud pot. The Lord moved into for 28 years, I believe, close to that. And he was porous. There wasn't anything that didn't come into on him from his environment. But the thing that you may not always know, Nazareth is the branch, but he was under the hands of a master potter. Jeremiah 18, I went down to see the work on the wheels. And the first work, God is, that should tell you that one scripture, it was marred in his hand, that was the first Adam. God is not going to accept us in the first Adam. The work has to be to press us into the last Adam. Understand that, and I know you do, but the pressure of 28 years of the Word being made flesh. I'm repeating this because you say you can take in the Word, but it has to be made flesh in us. It has to be worked out in us. Amen? What would happen if this wasn't true of the Lord? He would not have been able to finish his work. There would have been a division between his humanity and his divinity because of the great pressure. Do you know you're going to walk in the days ahead into pressure? And if the Word is not made flesh in you, practically, you won't be able to take that pressure. And I won't either. I'm speaking to myself. I thought, Lord, if someone mentions the great snatch again to me, I don't know what I'm going to do. If you do a study of God's Word, what it takes to get out of here in translation, and we've had lessons on that from Elijah, that was complicated. Think about it. So much for I'm going out of here. Not a chance. Not a chance. God's going to lead his people by rank and order. Many, many lessons ahead there. I don't want to waste your time on that. I just want to say again, the Lord yielded to that work of the fourfold branch. Sometimes the most important time in your life is that quiet time. You think, why, Lord? Why am I so shut up? I want you to read this again. I want you to go over this again. Because he knows what's ahead. You don't know what's ahead. I still don't know what's ahead. I don't know what's ahead. People have asked me, well, what's ahead? I don't know what's ahead. I'm following the shepherd. If I get ahead of him, I'm going to fail. I'm going to fall. And so, just think from the time of John the Baptist. I don't want to go over that again. What a man sent from God. 30 years to prepare him for 6 months of ministry. I would think that I would say, why? Because the pressure was so great on John just introducing this one that was coming. What an honor this man will have in the days ahead. Very few of us realize he was a Levite priest, but he was. Zacharias and Elizabeth, Zacharias was in the temple, but the Lord couldn't come through the temple. He couldn't come through the present Levite order. He spoke to them at the birth of John, but John was out in the wilderness 30 years, learning what it was to be outside the system. Everything was the opposite of how the Levites did it. And he was being prepared for one thing, and that was to present the Messiah to Israel, to baptize him in the Jordan, the death, burial, and resurrection. And he introduced the earthly Messiah to our Lord, of our Lord yet to Israel. And after that, our Lord was public. Now you're going to learn to appreciate the times you were hidden and God's hand was over you. He didn't let you know or feel. You will thank him. Because when he lifts that hand, you're going to feel the hostility that he felt in a measure when the winds of doctrine began to blow on his frail tent. And those winds were contesting who he was. You know, Christ didn't go around saying, I'm. There's a few people like that. I'm. I can tell you that he didn't want anyone hardly to know, because the pressure went 10 times harder for him. Every miracle of healing. Today, people want to tell about this or tell about that. He did not want that because the pressure was so great on him. He sought to be hidden, yet he was public. 4 years was the Passover lamb. He never slept, hardly, those 4 years of open ministry. He prayed all night to be able to take the next day. The opposition of sinners, contradiction of sinners. I was going to speak on that. Contradicting him. What were they contradicting? That he was born certainly of a virgin. I don't think he had to defend that so much. But that he was God in the flesh. I mean, they were ready to throw him over the brow in Nazareth. They were going to throw him over the hill. His own hometown, his own synagogue, where he was raised for 28 years. And now, because he read from Isaiah, quoted in Luke 4, and he quoted that, that was a messianic portion of scripture. The Lord hath anointed me. He was the anointed. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and all the things, wonderful things. And when he finished there, he closed the book. And they stared at him. And he mentioned a couple of things about how God turned to the Gentiles. And I can tell you, they were going to throw him over the brow. But the Lord spared him. And then, reaching Jerusalem. Our Lord, when he came down in the heat of Jerusalem, by then he was going to be the burning bush. He had already encountered what the wise men or heard about it at his birth. There was Herod, killed all the two-year-olds to try to kill the seed. Now let me say something. Every one of you now are part of the seed in Christ. You say, how could there come this hideous spirit? Because it's in your adversary. Genesis 3:15, the great enmity. We don't usually feel it because we're not exposed to it. The Lord has sheltered us and kept us and led us. You know what happened there. And when he came in Zechariah 9:9, to fill the Passion Week, he did not look like Israel's Messiah. David, Solomon both came in pomp and circumstances on a white mule, and he came on a dun red ass. That's what it was, that ugly red brown. He was disheveled in his clothing. He probably hadn't slept all night. How do I go to Jerusalem? How he knew what awaited him. He was not ignorant of why he was going to Jerusalem. I'll soon be king. Not so. He would be the Lord's anointed, but I can tell you he wasn't welcomed by the religious community. Now this is when the Lord readeth the greatest weakness of the burning bush. You would think he would be strengthened for Calvary. He was weakened down to where all he had was the great I am in him. That kind of strength, spiritual strength. I thought today in a burning bush, or a bush in general, I thought of four little things. It's about the most fragile thing in the world. You could just break it off, step all over it, it would just go to pieces. Think about what he had been reduced to so that he could go through and accomplish the work. He couldn't have his own strength. It's the most flammable thing you can think of. If you set a match to it, and who would turn aside to see a bush? Everybody knew that there were thousands and thousands and thousands of dry bushes. Who would want to turn aside to see anything? So when our Lord came down, he looked like a total failure as far as his ministry. Everything was in shambles. That is true. But what man didn't see what was the great I am that was growing up in him as he lost his strength and ability. The great I am in the midst of the burning bush. That's what God is doing to you and me. He's cutting our strength back, our flesh back. Every time you go through a trial, you lose something. Or something gets cut back and you think, Lord. But in its place, God is forming the great I am. He did it in Christ. He's going to do it in the latter church as well, the first company. And they never would have crucified him had they known the great I am was in the midst of that bush. Because his death was one of the greatest victories we could ever, ever imagine on the dark side. Because in that crucifixion, he crucified every single Jew, every single Gentile, all the kings that were sitting there, Herod, Pilate, and all the Caesars, all flesh was put to death in his death. They are no more in God's reckoning. What a great defeat this was for the dark side. The enemy would never have wanted him to reach the cross had he known that our Lord would come through as the firstborn from the dead. The greatest victory, time and eternity. We let you look back at that victory. The law was put away, and I like to say fulfilled, because it isn't put away. The law still exists. Don't look down on the law. It was fulfilled in Christ, in that life that came forth from that dark tomb. Oh, hallelujah. God brought him out. He brought him out. He did furnish the faith. That he did. That's the faith of Christ. He came out as the firstborn from the dead, a quickening spirit, able to give that life. Now, it's not just eternal life, it's Christ in you. The church, for heaven's sakes, get a hold of what that new birth is. He was able to give his life through his own faith, his own grace that had been given him as a gift. And the wonderful thing about it, Ephesians 2:8, not of works, lest any man. And under it says, paid in full. This gift is paid in full. You didn't furnish the faith, and you certainly didn't deserve the grace. It was all on the shoulders of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the gift of God, lest any man boast. Paid. I paid it all. Ephesians 2. You know why you couldn't? Because you've been put to death by the cross. That's why Israel couldn't furnish faith. The Gentiles couldn't furnish faith. They were dead in trespasses and sin. It says it in Ephesians 2. You are dead. The church was dead. Every member of it was dead. And they cannot take credit for faith or grace. They didn't deserve it, and they didn't have the faith. It was impossible. It was impossible for us to be born again apart from him. And so, I'm going to close in just a minute. I want to go back. One more message. I know there will be. Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus. There's a marvelous revelation there. You pray for me that I can mind it out. Jesus paid it all. What do you owe him? Your spirit, soul, and body. He redeemed you. You're his property. Sometime I'm going to give some lessons on, you can't trespass on my property, but you do often. You say, well, I've never done this or done that. How do you, your body belongs to him. Totally. Your spirit, your soul. He bought you off the slave market. Now, he won't demand that you yield. He wants you to do that out of your great love of knowing what he did. This is what's missing in the church today. They don't know what he did, why he did it, and that it's finished, and that it belongs to them, and they owe him all. They have not heard this message. I don't care what anyone says. Most of them have never heard the gospel. And sometimes I wonder about if I've heard it all. I keep coming into depths of it, and I think, Lord, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. But I want to know the depths of Paul's gospel, we're only surfacing it. And they're going to come forth in these 7 good years, I believe, because the church was deprived. You can't ask them to do anything else. What are you going to hammer on them? Do this, do that? They aren't able. So pray for this wonderful outpour, the 7 good years where the Lord is going to give his people a chance to hear the gospel that has been stolen from them, mainly by the thief, the great thief, but also many, many ministers and people down through the church age. And I don't even blame them anymore. I think, Lord, just pour out your spirit and give an ability where there hasn't been. Make the truth known. And I believe you are going to move mightily by your spirit to make that happen. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. I like to sing it one verse anyway of Jesus paid it all. Jesus, who do you owe? You owe the person that redeemed you off of the slave market. That's all you owe. And he won't ever ask you. He wants you to do it out of his love. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you for that message, Joe. Jesus paid it all. Peter said to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the more knowledge you get of him, the more you appreciate him for what he did it at Calvary. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I. grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, hallelujah, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Hallelujah. Well, praise you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, God, for the word, God, that has been given to us. Lord, we thank you for your spirit, Lord, for your presence in our midst. And Father, bring us back into this place tonight. And Lord, we ask, God, that you keep your hand upon each one. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Amen and amen.